Recording Celestial Conference 2005. So, hello then, and hope you had a nice lunch break. Did I forget anything to say in the previous part? No. Here's our next talk, Victor Lazzarini. He was with us last year already, and at that time he was rather into more DSP programming stuff, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. This year it's about another topic, C-Sound, extending C-Sound 5. Before Victor begins, one information. There was a suggestion from him and Dave Phillips to do a small C-Sound demo today, which was not scheduled, which is not in the program, but we managed to get it into the program. So after the last talk today at roughly 5:15, they were doing over here a 20-minute live demo of C-Sound. Yep. Okay then, Victor, go ahead.
This talk is going to be discussing means of extending C-Sound, which are not, some of it, it's not particularly new. It's been there ever since the language was was introduced. And but some of it is quite new, and some of it is fairly new. What is new is basically that you can develop components of the language, unit generators in the form of opcodes, and load them dynamically, which is something that you couldn't do in the past, but ever since a couple of years ago, you were able to do it. And with the new versions of C-Sound, the new version 5, which there'll be a paper on that this afternoon, this is very well supported and encouraged. So, and also another way of extending the language, which we're going to be doing, is using the language itself in terms of user-defined opcodes. And I'll discuss about, I'll mention a few other things that are currently on the loop with this. Okay. So, just a little brief idea for those of you who don't know about C-Sound. C-Sound is one of the most popular of the modern music languages. And by modern, I mean languages that are generally cross-platform or even portable, and together with C-Music, C-Sound was probably one of the first such languages coming in, kind of almost like second generation after the Music 5 sort of 4 type languages. The C-Sound is greatly available for a majority of platforms. So it's available for lots of systems, and currently very well supported on the major systems, Mac OS, then Windows and Linux in all flavors. It's basically probably one of the strengths of C-Sound, one of the many strengths of C-Sound is the complete set of unit generators, which in C-Sound take the form of opcodes. And it's a very fairly comprehensive set of UGENs. Also, one of the reasons why you have a great number of opcodes is because it's quite easy to extend. It provides a simple opcode structure, coding structure, which makes it quite easy to extend. So, so many people did that, and that's why you have such a large collection of unit generators. And also, we have such a large collection of developers of unit generators around the world. And now it provides, well, ever since a couple of years ago, it's providing a mechanism for loading plugin of codes from dynamic library objects, which is a, is something that you find in other popular systems such as PG, which is an important thing to have these days. And I'll just mention the API, basically a control, mostly a control API that you can use to control C sound from embed C sound in other applications, which is a very important development. Probably John's going to be discussing that aspect in his talk. And it's a great, also great asset for C sound, and providing great flexibility and control over the operation of C sound. And increased support for extension. Now, just to mention about the C sound versions that are currently available, the latest versions. The latest, there are actually two streams, as you could see. There's a stable stream, which is actually a code freeze stream from 2002. Which is sort of frozen on version 4.23, and it's only being updated for bug fixes. And at this point is on fix 12. So system 4.23 is basically stable, and it's very there are very few bugs and works very well, and it's also available as an easy to install, you know, build system package with configure, and it's sort of very easy to install and very easy to set up for any system. This provides an API and library so that you actually can use the system to embed in other applications. So, but the API compared to the new API for the CSound 5 is rather limited, and it provides support for plugin opcodes. And it's quite reliable. Now, CSound 5, it's the new generation CSound, which is a pre-release version that's available from CVS. It's now using a different build system, which is using SCONS. There's a big restructuring of the code, and probably John will discuss this, the restructuring, later on in his talk. So I'll leave that for him to discuss. And one of the most important aspects of it is that it has an expanded API. It's using external libraries for SoundFile, which is a SoundFile lib, for MIDI, for Sport MIDI, for RT Audio, which is Sport Audio. And also there are plugins available, with an ALSA and a Jack RT Audio plugins. So there's also support for the development of plugin for output, real-time output plugins. And it's constantly evolving, and it's not completely tested, but in my experience, and that was discussing with Dave Phillips, his experience as well, it's very usable in Linux. And so in Linux, it's probably the platform where it's mostly stable. And I would say at this point it's quite it's something that you can rely on it quite a lot, not completely tested, but very usable. Okay, so I want to discuss now the ideas of extending C sounds from the language itself, from the user-defined opcode to the plugin opcode. But before I do that, I just want to discuss just a few important details on C sound. The first thing that I want to say is that C sound relies on a system. The C sound language relies on a system that where you have three basic data types, and there's a third type as well, and a fourth type, a third type on two other types for signal for frequency domain processing, but we'll discuss that one of them later on. But the basic types are, you have I-type variables, which are used in initialization only, and they assume only one value in performance. There are k variables which are control rate signals, scalars assuming holding a single sample during performance, and eight type variables or alter rate signals, vectors that hold of a block of samples. So it's very important to understand this system when we're actually developing an opcode, so you can actually what's actually going to happen once your opcode is running. And also there's built in into a CSound instrument code, there is a performance loop which you don't see. It's not explicit, but it's implicit in the code, which operates at the control rate, which is the KR, which is the ratio of the sampling rate by the number of samples in the block. Okay. Now, this performance loop, basically, during performance in this loop, you have K variables updated every 1 over KR seconds, and audio rate variables then that will have the whole vector updated at that rate. So a single variable within the vector then is updated at the sampling rate. That's it. This just a simple example to show what I mean by this is a simple CSound code showing what I mean by this implied performance loop. So here you have defined between the instrument 1 and NTIN is the instrument code, and here you can think of this as the start of the loop, and that's going to, you can think of that as the end of the loop. In this within this implied loop, you have the variables that are assuming one value from performance. So, for instance, ice call is going to be 0.5 hours, so it's not going to be affected by the loop. It's not going to be in the loop. Whereas k ramp that k is going to be assuming several values during the loop, I'm incremented k ramp once every time you go around this loop, and the other variable that I'm using there is the A type variables A sig there is copy. This is actually being also being okay. This A sig in there, this is also being implemented, being incremented being updated every time you go around the loop. So you're copying a block of samples every time the loop goes round, and then say I can update that by say multiplying by I scale and K ramp, and this is basically scaling every sample in that vector by these variables here, and I'm copying the samples to the output here. So you can see the implied loop here is that some variables are updated in this loop, others aren't. Some variables are holding only one value in the loop, and some variables are holding a whole vector, which is that one there. So now we can go for examples. I'm going to do all the examples using a very, very simple processing operation here, which is going to be seen in three forms. A form as an UDO, as a user-defined opcode, as a plugin opcode in the time domain there, as a plugin opcode, not opcode, in the spectral domain. And this basic unit generator is going to be implementing a very stupid filter, first order feed forward, which describes that equation there, and this is the flow chart here. Very simple, and this is the amplitude response of the filter, and that's kind of the spectral curve that you obtain with that filter. So we're going to see how we can, when we implement that as a UDO, as a time domain, in the time domain application, as a plugin of code, we're going to be implementing that flow chart. And when we do in the spectral domain, we're going to be using this amplitude response here as, to process the signal. So let's talk about user-defined opcodes now. The user-defined opcodes is good way of extending the system if you're not a C programmer or a C++ programmer yourself, but you know quite a lot of the C sound language, and you want to write the code in the C sound language. So you can create a no code that behaves exactly like any other opcode, and you can basically have any number of instances of that opcode in an instrument, in several instruments. And so it's effectively an opcode like just like any other, as far as the instrument code is concerned. It has a similar definition to an instrument code. So you have opcode and then op and op, and you define the code inside there. You give it a name there, and you give some arguments that to it. The A type argument means that you're producing an A signal, so a vector as an output, and these are the input arguments: A type, K type, it's a scalar, and I type. Okay. Now these inputs and outputs are. These inputs and outputs to an opcode are accessed using the xin and xout opcodes, which are special codes for use with the user-defined opcode. And also, a great thing about this, is that one, you can set a local value for the ksum. So you actually can have a vector of one sample, which means that you can have one sample delays inside your code. So if you want, for instance, you need a feedback of one sample, you can have it, which you can with C sound, but you have to set the global key samples for one, and that performance-wise is not a great thing. So it's a good thing. Another thing that I'm not really discussing today, but it's also a great thing, is that you can have a recursive call of these opcodes. So for instance, you can in a very compact code build a bank of filters, a bank of oscillators, etc. Something that you couldn't previously do in C sound. So let's see the example of the feedforward filter that we just seen. The feedforward filter is very simple here. I'm defining the values for high pass and low pass, so you can use this in your in the code there. So this opcode will take as arguments as the input signal, K control, which will be a coefficient for the filter, and an I, which will be the mode of the filter, either low pass or high pass. So you set K sums to 1, so you can have effectively your loop here that's defined inside the opcode is actually just running in one time. So actually, your vector size here is 1. So you don't have a. Effectively, what's happening there is that you will your the k variables and the a variables will hold 1 samples. So you actually you can define just a one sample delay if you want. Okay. Here's what's happening there. I get inputs using the xin opcode. I'm going to initialize the delay to variable to 0, and that will hold your delay signal. So then I'm checking whether this is high pass or low pass, and if it's high pass, then I just invert the coefficient just get the negative of the coefficient here, and invert the signal, and then the filter here is defined by that equation there, and I'm keeping the input signal in the delay there. So this is basically very. You can see that you can define this, and then you can use it in your orchestra. In any instrument with this opcode call, this would be the opcode code that you need to use, the C sound code that you need to use this for the UDO. So it's quite simple and it's quite usable for lots of things. UGOs can do only so much, and also they, in terms of computation, they wouldn't be as efficient as something that is actually written in C and compiled. So the mechanism of plugin opcodes comes into to play when you want to write an opcode and load it and build it into a library and load it into C sound. So C sound basically provides this mechanism here that can be used for loading the plugin opcodes as dynamic libraries, either written in C or in C++. Now, both C sound 4.23 and 5 support this feature, although the C code itself it's not completely compatible between versions. So we're going to see in the examples the differences. The C sound plugins opcodes will be basically just similar to the old kind of internal opcodes that you in before you had to compile with the language. If you wanted to add a new opcode, you had to recompile the whole program with the new opcode. Now, it's pretty much the same thing, except that you're going to have a number of extra things, which are the registration an entry point that you need for the library. So you need to define the data space, the C structure, and then you have to supply your initialization, control rate, and or auto rate functions that will implement the signal processing. The OEntry array used to live in a static array inside C sound in the OEntry1 and entry2.c files. But of course you can't do that. So you have to define your local OEntry here, and that's going to be then going to be registered the opcode with C sound by one of the entry point functions. Okay. Okay. So let's have a look at the building this building your code. What you need to do. Well, in terms of data space, basically the format of the data space is this. It's quite a simple format actually. You have an OPGS data structure, which holds the common components of all opcodes. You have then following that, you're going to have the input, the output, and input, which are going to be coming into in the form of pointers to my float, which is the internal representation for signals in C sound. That can be either 32-bit floating point or 64-bit floating point, depending on the version of C sound that you're going to be compiling for. Because you can compile C sound for 32-bit support or 64-bit support. So both the output and input are going to be pointed to my float, and then you can define any other internal data space member that you need. In our case, then you have this OPGS there. You can see the output. This is the input. This is going. The coefficient. Now I'm using the name k coefficient. Just doesn't really need to these names, when you, as you know, they're arbitrary. Just remind me that this is a k and that's an I type variable, but doesn't really matter. This is the an internal delay that what will hold the one sample delay, and this is going to be the mode of the filter. This is an example of an initialization function here. And this is called every time there's an init pass in the orchestra. So every time you initialize the instrument before performance, this is called. So it's basically where you define where, for instance, you're going to initialize everything, and you're going to be copying the iTime arguments as well, because they're only going to assume one value. So you copy them there to your internal data space. Now, the differences between C sound 5 and C sound 4.23 are basically that you can see that in C sound 4.23, you only take the new filter, or basically just the data space pointer. You don't take the environment data space, the pointer to the environment data space, and you don't return any, you return void. And in C sound 5, then you have to return an integer. okay, and take that the environment, that data space as input. Okay. Now I'm going to set up an audio rate function to process the audio here. So this basically produces a vector of samples as the output, and also takes a sample block as input. The size of the vector is taken from k sums. So this is the function here. You basically, this is going to be called every time in the instrument loop, every time the opcode is going to be active, is going to be producing an output, this is going to be called. And so basically what's important here is that you define a loop here to process the vector that you get as input. So the vector is coming here, this is your input, that's your output. These are your coefficients, which is only, it's a single variable, okay, so it's only, it's a scalar, so a single value. And then that's your delay, and that's your temporary variable I'm using inside here. So this is defined. This basically takes in the input here and produces an output. And you hold on to the delay here for the next time the processing is the function is going to be called. The difference between CSound 5 and CSound 4.23, very simple here. Again, you in CSound 5 you return a variable, whereas in CSound 4.23 you don't return anything. You just avoid there. And you take the environmental data space pointer in CSound 5, and you don't do that in CSound 4.23. Oh, there's another very important thing, is that ksums now resides in CSound 5, resides inside the environment data space, whereas in 4.23 it was a global variable. Okay. Opcode registration. Now this is what you need to do to make sure that CSound kind of knows that there's no new opcode that can be used. And this is basically by filling up an entry in this structure here. Takes in basically the opcode name as a string, takes the size of the data space, and then it takes a code that basically defines what the opcode is going to be doing, which is a combination of a number of values. So for instance, if you have an initialization function and an audio function, though, then you sum the two and you get 5 there, right? That's easy enough. If you have a control function then and initialization function, you get 3. And if you have initialization function, control function, and audio function, you get 7. So that's basically that telling CSound how it's going to how this opcode is supposed to behave. Now this is basically arguments, input, the output argument, and the input arguments here, just like in the form of the that we saw with EGOs as well. And this is the initialization function, a pointer to initialization function. This is the control rate function. You don't have any, so you just pass a no pointer. And this is the processing function. Okay. Now, you have to provide the entry points, and in CSound 5, this comes in the form of the linkage macro, which is defined in the header file CSTL, or the entry point functions that you have to define to just copy these things. It's the same code, always the same. So this is for 4.23. Okay. Now, building and using the plugin opcodes. Plugin opcodes then can be built using the following commands. Basically, you just compile it and just build it as a shared library, okay, and exporting all symbols there. In fact, the only thing is ignore all warnings about redefinitions here, because if you you have to actually to define a token there for not to get those warnings. But it doesn't really matter. It doesn't affect the output code, the output binary. So Csound 5 then will load automatically all opcodes in the opcode dir directory. So if you put your opcode.so there in your opcode dir, then Csound 5 will load automatically that. Otherwise, you can do in Csound 423, there isn't such a code, so you have to load it automatically, or you have to load it manually and use this command line. And you can use that as well in Csound 5 if it's not in opcode dir. Another thing that you can do, another type of plugin that you can do in Csound is a plugin function table. Now in Csound, function tables are very important because they're used everywhere for various functions. So the plugin function table generators are kind of handy because then you can define your own as a module as well, and that can be loaded into Csound. So basically, it works a little bit like the opcode. You define a function to implement the gen routine, which is the generating and filling the function table. And this is the example by John Fitch that he did for when he introduced this feature into the language. And basically what this does is basically creates a hyperbolic tangent functional table. Okay, so you can fill in the functional table with a hyperbolic tangent with the range with a range value here that is taken from the functional table the F statement in the score or in the orchestra using the appropriate opcode. So you can do that in Csound, so it's quite good. The plugin gen also has to be registered, and to that use the nfgens structure there, and this is the name of the function table. This is basically the function that implements it, and it has to be a null terminated array, because the way the system works is that gens are numbered by their loading order, and then it's starting from 44, because gen 43 is the highest numbered internal gen. And then you use the flinkage macro to provide entry point to the dynamic library module. Now, this is a very new feature, and it's only in Csound 5. Now, I just want to talk a little bit about spectral processing, which is a topic that hasn't been covered very much in the available literature about Csound opcodes, the developments in Csound opcodes. Because it's also a new feature that was introduced by Richard Dobson a couple of years ago again. And it's present on 4.23 and also present on 5. So you can use those with both versions of Csound. So Csound is providing now a framework for spectral processing, and that's based on the fourth data type, FC. The FCs define a self-describing frequency domain data type, which is described by this C data structure. Basically, it has a number of members here that relate to the data type, and things like the size of the spectral array, spectral frame, number of overlaps, window size, type of window, the format that data is present. At the moment, we're only using amplitude frequency, but this can be used. You can have other forms. You can have a complex format as well if you want. But then you have to make sure that your codes work that way as well. This is a count frame count that you need for the system to work, for the framework to work, and this is the actual data. This is a spectral sample, basically spectral samples, and they are 32-bit floats, and they're held in this array here. The AUSCH structure basically holds memory blocks that you can use for C-sound processing. So how do they work? Basically, spectral opcodes work by you have a number of spectral analysis opcodes such as PVSNL. Well, actually, that's only one at the moment, but there'll be more in the future. That will output the frames of FFT size plus two values. Every hop size input sample. So you have a certain hop size, and you will just have that kind of data there. Then the frames will contain pairs of amplitude and frequency values for each DFT bin from 0 Hz to Nyquist frequency inclusive. The spectral processors will take these F6, process them, and output them on demand. So processing happens on demand only as new frames are ready to be processed. So this is a difference from the old phase vocoder implementations in C-sound that would be producing them constantly, and they weren't as efficient as this one here, this framework. What you're implementing here is a k-rate processing function, because it doesn't really need to be called for an audio rate you're not processing audio rate signals, you're actually processing effectively control rate signals. You're not producing data at the audio rate, you're producing data at a different rate. The only thing is that the FC framework requires that the hop size between analyzed frames is bigger or equal to the K sums. Okay. Can't be smaller than. Okay, yeah, I'm finishing. So this is the flow chart of what's happening there. And you go through the PVSNL, spectral opcodes, PVSynth, and you get the waveform. So this is where processing can occur. That's an example. It's basically the same thing. You have to define a data space. You create an opcode in the same way, and the data space will have your inputs as PVS dot data pointers. So the only thing with this is that you're going to have to allocate your outputs, because you have to allocate the frame data for your output. So the initialization will allocate memory here. And to allocate memory, you use the AUSALLOC function, which in C sound 4.2 used to be AUSALLOC. Okay. And then this is the processing function. So what you do here, the clever bit is here, that if the last frame, if there's a new frame to be processed, so the frame count is different there, then you can process the data, and this is a process in the spectral domain. So you update the spectral frame, and then here what I'm doing is this. The even array positions are going to be the amplitudes, and the odd is going to be the frequencies. So I'm updating the amplitudes only, because it's only filtering here and not doing anything with the frequencies. And then you register it as a control rate function here, and you see you only using three, because you have an init function and a control rate function here, and the data type is F. Okay, C-sound then is kind of regarded as kind of one of the most complete computer music languages. And all these things then are a very interesting mechanism that can be used then to expand the language. And there are other ones coming online now with CSound 5. That's new methods providing simple and quick ways for customizing CSound. And I expect that this is only only the start of new phase of evolution of CSound. And it's very interesting to see the language evolving and adding new things to it and providing more flexibility to its users. So just before I finish, I'm just going to show the. Is it here? No. The upcoding operation. Not much of a. This is. Okay, not much of an effect, but it's just a filtering white noise. Here is low pass filtering, high pass filtering, etc. And this is implemented in the time domain and the spectral domain. This is the spectral domain one now, which is the same as those. So the same thing is happening in the spectral domain. Okay, we'll see. We'll do some more demos showing this interface and things later on. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Victor. Any questions from the audience? Oh, yes, that's someone I've seen before.
I'm Stefan Kersten from Germany. Mm-hmm. I just wondered how easy it would be to integrate new spectral data types into CSound or new data types which have a different sampling rate and block length, like the F6 signal. Would it be...
What type of new spectral data types are you thinking?
For example, LPC frames or...
Oh yeah, I mean you have... but that wouldn't be... That would be... Not really spectral, be time domain. It's a different that wouldn't work in the same. This the spectral processing is kind of the Fourier transform based data. You can produce if you produce the data in that format of the DFT format, then you can resynthesize it.
How easy it would be to introduce entirely new data types. So it's not an ad hoc integration of the F.
Sorry, John Fitch, UK. The answer is it's not very difficult. The guy who did the spectral stuff did it very quickly, and it's on my list to make it even cleaner and smoother. I'll talk about that later today.
You can have that data that we. At the moment, we're processing the data in the format, in the amplitude frequency format, but you can effectively have it in reimagined format, in complex format, or in amplitude phase format. And which is something that's also I'm working on, is have a set of sinusoids, say sinusoid data with amplitude frequency and phase. And that could be processed in. So it's kind of expandable, as John said.
Yeah. Matthias Brüssel, Germany. Just one short question. Is there any special debugging aid with all those C pointers and typecasts and stuff?
John probably will be able to answer you more than that.
I'm really not the person to ask this. I always used to use brain power. Actually, I don't like to say this, but the last coffee I had in my department was discussing precisely this issue.
Yeah, no. What you have is there is a what you can call an opcode API, which there are error message sort of print out things, and there are a number of kind of auxiliary functions that you can call, like AuxiLock, that the one function is the only one I used here. They are all in the CSound environment data space. So you can use them. And for instance, there is one called perf error, which is whenever there's a performance error, you just print that out to the screen. There's a one called init error, whenever there's an initialization error, you print that to the screen. So these things, the only thing that these things we require now is to have a good documentation of these functions, but they're out there.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Jan Jakob Hofmann from Germany, and my question is: what is the difference and the advantage regarding the user-defined opcodes to the macros we've had before?
The difference. There's a big difference because you. It's different in terms of concept, really, because what you're doing with a user-defined opcode is actually defining, if you talk in object-oriented terms, defining a class that you can use many instances of it, and you're doing composition, you're composing that class with other classes. And so it's a completely different approach. Plus, you can have can run the, as I said, the UGO at a different control rate, which is, it's very important. So you can realize all types of filters with it. And also, you can do with something that I didn't discuss here because of the time, is you can do recursion, which is great as well, because you can then effectively spawn number of opcodes dynamically just by doing the recursion. So for instance, if you want to do a channel vocoder, you can just have your one channel defined and then recurse it, do a recursiveness, recursion, and sort of have your channel vocoder bank filter banks all set up, so it's very compact. So there's quite a lot of new things that can be done with it.
Thank you.
I must say that just before there's one last slide here. That
change the monitor.
Oh yeah. So one last slide. It's just about the updated text, because originally when I sent this code in, it had a GIF, the opcode code that is in the proceedings. Has a code that's not compatible with C5 anymore. Because things have changed quite quickly, and I have updated this about four or five times, the only way of getting the latest things is now, because I keep upcoding, and then next week there's someone that changes the interface, and so that's happened lots of times, and you can find it in that website, and you can find it in the csounds.com site the same text that you have in the proceedings, but with the updated code. So don't blame me if your code doesn't work.
Okay, so I'm afraid we have to cut down on questions now because we're running slightly late. For now, I think that's enough. Thank you very much, Victor.
Thank you.
And then we'll have roughly 10 minutes break for setup of the next speaker, and we started almost 2:30 with Dr. Albert Graef on the Q programming language.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm set up, completely set up. Ich habe Erfahrung drin.
Okay, then our next speaker is Albert Graef from, help me?
From the University of Mainz.
Of Mainz, right?